You asked whether Jonathan experienced Tina Mida when falling asleep, or would you like to introduce him?
It's an experience a couple of days ago, discussion here. For a couple of minutes, a very strong attack of feeling sleepy, just for 1 or 2 minutes, and then it's gone and feel quite refreshed and energetic. So of course it's speculation. It could be Tina Mida, or just could be really recharged physically.
What about they are all Dhamma?
Yeah. Right.
And we try to find out the word.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's clearer than any word at all when it's there. No word, but the characteristic is so clear.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we don't have to find out the word for it. Mm-hmm. But at that moment, no one there at all.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So if we don't have such understanding that the word is not as important as a characteristic as ourselves, we follow the words on and on.
Right, right. It's no one's experience, mm-hmm. right?
That's why the one who understands the truth doesn't care or mind much about the word. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, no one can escape such thinking about the word because one has heard a lot about different words,
mm-hmm.
about right. reality, like whether it is lopa or dinamita or whatever. But in truth, it's to let go, the clinging to the word.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
As soon as one tries to pinpoint, as soon as one thinks, is Tina, is this Mida? Actually, it is the idea of self there. It's like my experience trying to work out whether my experience is this or that. So it's actually the story about my experience trying to fit it into a pigeonhole to work out what the reality is. So like Jonathan said, oh, I don't think about it. It's because whatever appears is just a Dharma and it's gone, so it's of no importance. But as soon as there's a trying to catch it or work it out, then it becomes important, becomes my experience. And one dwells on it. Or this was the experience I had yesterday or 10 years ago or when I was in the meditation center 20 years ago. It distracts from just understanding what appears now.
About this, I still attach to the word Tina and Mida, and understand that is at any moment of akusala is not always Tina and Mida, right?
It's quite a long time to let go of the idea, but when it's there, there can be the understanding of the truth. Otherwise, the truth cannot appear at all. It's covered up by the words.
What do you mean by when you say you're attached to the words?
You want to know the meaning and which moment is arise. It's
whether that's arising or not. Yes. Hmm. Particularly for Tina Mida though, or other dhammas too,
yes.
So basically, all the time you're wanting to know what the.
Yes.
What the jetasikas are that are appearing, are rising at the present moment. I was just thinking yesterday that having an interest in the fine details of the Dhamma can be a blessing or a curse, because if the investigation of the fine details is not appreciated as being just that, and one thinks it's significant in terms of understanding, whereas in fact it's not, then it's wrong understanding, perhaps wrong practice of some kind. One would be better having an interest in collecting stamps or knitting or something that can't be mistaken for getting to the truth of things.
Depends on the cheetahs at this moment, because there can be wise considering about which cheetahs virya arises with, or which cittas tina mita arise with. But this is different from just trying to find it or trying to catch it or being distracted by following the details, not understanding what appears now. So it's not a rule that one cannot consider wisely when tina and mita arises. But if one is trying to catch it now and say, oh, okay, this is the tina mita because it's arising with a weak citta and it's akusala at this moment and I felt sleepy, that is not the understanding of the reality appearing. And when feeling sleepy, well, there are just different dhammas, no matter what they're called.
Sarah, you just mentioned about weak citta. And could you talk more about weak or strong citta?
Because when we read about, like yesterday or the day before, we were talking about different kinds of lobha, I think, or different kinds of kusala, different sobhana cittas that can be strong or weak, the asankarika, not prompted, or strong, or sasankarika, those that need some urging, which are weak, like maybe one just sees an opportunity to give and one gives, but other times if someone doesn't encourage us, we don't give. And tina mita, they're always arising with weak cittas, for example.
So it's not about accumulation of the jatasika to indicate weak or strong citta.
It is about the indication of the chetasikas, because all these chetasikas, all these tendencies accumulate, but still some chetasikas arise with particular cittas and some only arise with strong cittas or only arise with weak cittas. So there is a differentiation between them. But again, if we try to catch it and we say, oh, the virya now, the energy is weak because I'm feeling drowsy and therefore tina mita must be there, it's actually a story. It's not just understanding what appears right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I was thinking tina mita could be strong, but still the citta is still called weak.
Do we have to name it tina and mita? Because at the moment when lobha is there, but it is not as strong as we feel that I like that object, but it's there. But when you feel you like it, depending on conditions, how much. When it appears as I like it very much, it's not tina mita. Just learn to understand different degrees of each reality, even lobha and moha.
Usually in the texts, they're referred to as prompted and unprompted, but actually unprompted, like when it's strong lobha, like out of the blue, then we can say it's strong, even though it's called unprompted. And when it's just a little, like if one, the dish is a little bit tasty, but not so much, and someone says, oh, isn't it tasty? Well, okay, a little bit of lobha, but it's weak at that time.
Okay, it's worked. But the reason I was thinking about this is, I was thinking about a strength. Can we use the word strength of a citta? A word.
Is there lobha now?
Lobha is strong, okay. Deep-rooted.
Can it be known?
Yes, to high level of wisdom.
After seeing three moments, is there? Can it be known?
Only to a high level of banyan.
Even just that which follows the seeing, only three mornings after seeing. Otherwise, what is the nimitta?
Mm-hmm.
Of vijnana khanda or whatever is there.
Mm-hmm.
Or nimitta when they appear, not just a single one. Appears, it is the nimitta of the nimitta. Whatever appears is the nimitta of not just one single reality. many, many of them.
Is it useful to remind ourselves that it's the nimitta rather than the reality that appears?
Finding the way again.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Just understand
the emphasis you give to nimitta. So I'm just wondering if you're suggesting that it's useful to
understand,
keep remembering that it's nimitta rather than
how subtle reality is right now. It cannot be just very simple, like this is Kunhang, but many, many moments of different absolute realities arising and falling away. Before there can be just a piece of nimitta.
Isn't it just thinking?
No. Even there's no thinking about it.
Right.
It's just like that.
But when we think that it's just the nimitta that's been experienced, not the reality itself, that's just thinking, isn't it?
That's right. How Panya can understand a little bit more. Only that which appears, but in truth it appears as nimitta. For example, seeing right now, see, there can be moment of understanding it when there is the understanding of the reality which experiences an object. At that moment, we don't mind about the object because at that moment, it's beginning of attending to the characteristic of that which experiences. But not just one unit or one single moment, many moments of seeing. That's why what appears in life, in truth, just six ways. But Buddha thought about each citta and chittasikas. But can it appear? Because he also said about nimitta of whatever appears. Rupa nimitta, feeling, vedana nimitta, samyana nimitta, sankhara nimitta, vijnana nimitta. To understand that actually all realities arise and falls away in split seconds. What is known, no matter when, is only the nimitta of a reality, of seeing, of thinking, of liking, disliking, visible object.
Talking about nimitta, as you were of Jonathan, we were looking at a reference in the Visuddhi Magga about nimitta kata, making a sign. Would you like to just mention what it was referring to? Like when there is requesting something. In English, they say making a hint, then it's nimitta kata. Of course, if there was no reality, there couldn't be any nimitta kata. But anything else you understand about this expression?
What are there now? Not just only one thing or one nimitta, right? Many nimittas. That's why there cannot be the precise understanding of each one as it is until there can be the understanding of the truth of whatever is there as it is a reality which arises to experience an object. And that the other one is that which arises but cannot experience the object. That is the beginning. Otherwise, we just talk about the word like seeing. But in truth, what is it? That which seems. And what is seen? It experiences only visible object, not other things.
Without these realities, the different namas and the different rupas, there couldn't be any nimitta, there couldn't be any reference to nimitta kata or any other aspect of nimitta. It's only because of the rapid arising and falling away of realities that there comes to be the experiencing of the nimitta, the signs, no matter what words are used.
I thought I heard Ajahn say a few minutes ago something about a nimitta of a nimitta.
Definitely sounds like layers of nimitta.
So okay.
I didn't hear that. I think she was just stressing that whatever the reference is into the text, like we were just mentioning this reference of nimitta kata, which is like making a sign. But it comes back to understanding what the realities are now, the seeing now, what is seen now, and the, because of the rapid arising and falling away, there are nimitta, nimitta of the realities, nimitta of the signs, the shapes, the forms, colors, the details, the ideas, nimitta of a tissue box, of a table. So layers and layers of nimitta.
Okay, that
I didn't hear a nimitta of nimitta, but
anyway, the layers of nimitta makes sense, regardless of what I thought I heard.
Is there nimitta now, Kun-en?
Yes.
What is that nimitta?
Seeing, let's say okay. Seeing.
Is it only one seeing?
No.
And that is the nimitta of seeing, which is not.
Yes.
And what else? What nimitta?
Could be visible object, hearing.
Okay. But it doesn't appear as visible object, right?
Not yet.
It's something. So nimitta appears, but without the moments of that which is seen, there cannot be any shape and form to be taken from a thing.
Yes.
So from nimitta of a reality, it condition nimitta of something.
Yes.
Whatever arises and falls away are there. So we live in the world of nimitta.
Yes.
The world.
Sorry, I didn't hear.
Fantasy world, because there are many people around, but in truth, no one at all.
Yes, yes.
What does not appear as nimitta?
Nibbana?
Not now. We just have
not to now, be. Not now, for sure.
See? Why Nibbana doesn't have nimitta?
Because it does not arise and fall away.
Mm-hmm. So whatever arises, falls away, has nimitta.
Yes.
One characteristic at a time until it appears together as something, a table, a chair.
Okay, thank you. You just asked me, what does not appear as nimitta?
Mm-hmm.
So and I'm sorry?
So the answer is?
Now. Only the jittas that don't appear, sampatichana, santirana.
And where are they?
And was it bhavanga?
Even
where are they?
They are there, right?
Yes.
But they cannot be seen.
Right.
They cannot be known. What
right.
can be known is only the nature which arises and experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No matter what, together as the nimitta of that which experience an object. That's right. Nimitta of nama, nimitta of rupa, when it appears well, so clear, it is the understanding of the distinction between that which experience. For example, no word like seeing at that very moment,
mm-hmm.
only the reality which experience, and the other is that which cannot experience. Even so, it's a nimitta. So in life, no matter in what life, only six doorways appear.
Yes. Okay. It's the nimitta of thinking that it's nimitta as well, and it can appear, but whatever is thought about, that's the object of thinking. Is there nimitta of that as well?
It depends on whether it is just idea. Or words, or the reality, like hardness. It appears to the sense door, and then to finder.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that can appear as nimitta, as
because
yes, a number arise and fall away.
By way of process, see, we
yes.
understand it's impossible to experience just one at a time.
Yes. So when there's thinking about concept, banyati, the concept does not appear as nimitta. It's not real.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But it's sanya that remembers it.
Mm-hmm. Nimitta of sanya.
Oh, of course. The nimitta of sanya that remembers it, and that's why
nimitta of sanya is what remembers.
Of rupa, nimitta of vedana, also nimitta of sanya.
Surely it's sanya that remembers, not the nimitta of sanya that remembers.
Whenever sanya is the object of understanding, it's not just only one sanya.
So that remembers, but the nimitta of sanya.
Jan is referring to when sanya is the object of understanding.
Yes, I understand the distinction, yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
In order to let go the idea of self, we have to study and consider each word to understand it, that what is there appearing now does not appear as it is. Just we learn about the truth. Why the arising and falling away of our reality cannot be discerned so easy? Because of the rapidity of the succession now. We cannot distinguish the sense thought and the mind thought. But there are only six thought rings.
I was just listening to what Ajahn was saying about nimitta through different doorways. The nimitta of the reality appears only in the mind or after the sense door, usually. And it always appears, no matter... It must appear every time there is a sense door process, the nimitta must appear. The same object appears in the mind door. After the first mind door process, there are more mind door processes, but it's not the same nimitta which was the object of the first mind door process after the sense door process. It's still nimitta, but it changes. It's not the nimitta of reality anymore. Is that right, Ajahn? Is that does it make sense? Is it that's what I understood from survey of Paramattha Dhamma and from other talks by Ajahn, but I'm not sure I got it right.
Can we think about what is now appearing?
Yes, we always do that. We always think about it.
What appears now? Very hard to say, right? But in truth, there must be that which is experienced. It's there, but no understanding whether it's what. Doubt, ignorance, not understanding the truth of what is there as it is. So the characteristic of ignorance is there, unknown as it is a reality, which doesn't know. When one is asked, what is there? Not known. Ignorance is there. It cannot understand what is there at all. Right? So when we say, what is now appearing? We think about seeing and that which is seen. So what is seen now? Do I really see you? Or just that which impinges on the eyebrows. And before it can be taken for you, the face and other things, what about just only one single moment of seeing? It's gone. So how can anyone experience just one single reality? Right? And when we talk about now just seeing itself, seeing only, but how many moments of seeing is there? to appear as seeing now sees. And ignorance cannot understand the truth that it's not I who sees anymore. It's only a reality arises, just see, and then gone instantly. Who knows the moment when it's arising and falling away? Impossible. That's why what appears is only the nimitta, the image of a reality which sees as is there now. So in life from birth to death, what appears must be the image of a reality or an image of something after seeing, taken for a pen or chair or thing in life. To understand a very subtle reality as it is now, arising and falling away, how subtle it is. So very quickly rolling on. So just only one, can it be understood? Can it be known? Begin to see the world in truth. The ignorance of what are there in the world from moment to moment, unknown, all gone so rapidly. What is taken is only different images, nimitta of different realities.
Okay.
How many moments of citta after hearing and the moment of taking the word as the meaning? What does that mean? For example, just the word I. See, is it only one moment of citta or many moments of citta? Vanga, Panchatavara Vachana. Hearing consciousness, sambaticchana sandirana, and then javana. What moment of citta is known? Not at all. By way of process, it's impossible for right understanding to have just one moment of citta as its object. And this is the truth of the world. What is world? Is that which arises and falls away in split seconds. Without a single one, there cannot be anywhere or anything at all. It has to be there from moment to moment. And seeing is not that which is seen, and seeing is not feeling. And seeing is not memory, see, just seeing a reality. That's why the truth is hidden for eons and eons ago, up to now, when there's no precise understanding of each nimitta as it is. When panya arises, what would it understand? Different from now or exactly the same? But there is a little understanding of what is there as not I, because it experiences and then gone. Seeing sees and then gone. Hearing hears now and then gone. But so many jittas do not arise to be the object of understanding. So in life, only 6 ways, the mind door in between each sense door. Because only sense door experience just the absolute truth. but the mind of which follow each process of sensor, condition, what is there, as it appears as nimitta. And nimitta is taken for something or someone in life. Never understand the absolute truth, just one single moment arising and falling away. But it appears as animitta, not one single reality. Without confidence of the truth, it's impossible to begin to understand the subtlety of all dharmas now. Is hardness now appearing subtle? No. Hardness now, isn't it subtle? The arising and falling away of it, unknown, as the other reality, conditioned to arise and fall away, no matter through what doorway. Each doorway is not known as it is. In truth, we live in the world of light or darkness. But it appears as now, so many people appear. It's not dark. But in truth, ignorance so dark, it cannot understand what is there as it is. What is darker? We can turn on the light, but even when turns on the light, no understanding of the truth of what appears. So each word bring about the understanding of the hidden truth.
And the light which appears now is the light of ignorance, is the light of nimitta. It's not the light of... because the world is so light, so... but it's not the true light. It's actually darkness. What it looks like light, it's darkness. Because it's ignorance.
Consider just one doorway, for example, the seeing. See, the seeing, without seeing, nothing can appear or show up as different things, different colors. No mountain, no people at all. If there's no seeing, wandering in that darkness. So when we talk just about wandering at a time, now we talk about seeing only, and the other cittas which do not appear at all. So what appears is the nimitta of seeing. Even if it is Panchatvara Vachana or Sampaticchana or Sandirana, they are not known. What appears is only the nimitta of seeing, the mitta of a reality which experiences the object of that which can be seen through the sense of idol. Imagine when there is no idol process at all. Can hearing things, sound, musical instrument, anything appear? Impossible. So this is one world of nimitta at a time, so many nimitta. Not understanding each one as it is, as no thing. Because it's there only just so very short, a moment. See, what is seen is a nimitta of a reality, but this is a moment. Imagine. And that is the truth of what is said for the first noble truth. No matter what arises, falls away, that is the meaning of dukkha. It does not last. What one clings to is so much, not understanding that it's not there anymore. Gone, never to return. And even when heard this truth for many, many moments, many, many weeks or months, it's not as strong as when it's directly experienced. Because now, if we talk about the heat of fire, but there's no touching of heat at all. It doesn't matter. So it's just like moment when reality arises and falls away, the nimitta of one reality at a time. Even so, not yet enough to eradicate absolutely the idea of self, never to arise again. It takes panya from the very beginning to be truthful to the truth. It's so difficult, patient, courageous, all there, giving away, at moment of giving away, in truth, it giving away ignorance and attachment, but so very little at a time in a day. That's why the development of right understanding of the truth has to be parami with the other reality as support to let go the idea of self, because ignorance and akusla cannot experience the truth. That's why it needs moment of kusala to condition the letting go of whatever is there, little by little, in the day. And without understanding the truth, what can eradicate ignorance and attachment? It's there so very strong. All comes from ignorance, but it's just upada. Now, that's why reality is not just reading the book, but to understand what word represent what reality and right now. For example, everyone understands when we talk about seeing. See, who doesn't know seeing now? But it's not seeing as it is, because no understanding of the truth of seeing. It sees and then it's gone. Who knows or understands the absolute truth of moment of seeing? No one there at all, because seeing just sees and then gone. And not just seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, all kinds of realities, unknown, taken for something permanent. And without understanding, it keep on like this, on and on and on, more and more and more.
It's like just taking everything for me, even just one moment of seeing, it's already me, it's already I see, and that's already going the wrong way, and keep on going on that wrong path, and ending up in all sort of pleasant or unpleasant situations are just imagined, just fantasies. Thank you, Ajahn.
Back to your original point, Alberto. So in the first mind door process, following the sense door process, it is the nimitta, the replica, the exact copy of the reality that has been experienced through the sense door that is the object of the citta, the nimitta of that reality. And when there's no panya, it is then just the nimitta of the sign, the detail, the color, the features, someone, something there instantly. So only when understanding begins to develop can it understand the nimitta of the reality itself when it appears. Only then can it get a little closer to what the reality actually is, the nimitta of the reality.
Oh, yes.
Any topic you'd like to bring up, Nina?
Well, I was listening to some recordings before, and Maeve had very good questions about appearing well, and when is something appearing well, and we asked that, and Ajahn explained that before, but I know that we have to hear that again before we really understand that. And we live in the world of nimitta. Ajahn said that many times. It is really difficult to understand this well. We hear the words, but I feel we have to hear explanations again. So it's good we have opportunity here to ask questions, and we should not waste the opportunity. It's a very good way of asking, and nobody should be afraid to ask again the same things. It's so useful, and I'm so grateful that you give us the opportunity for this, these sessions we have now in Bangkok this whole week.
And just when the discussion finished yesterday, one of our Thai friends who was here asked Ajahn to talk a little more about begin again. So actually what happened yesterday, what happened a few moments ago, it's all gone, a dream, a fantasy, but there has to be the beginning again and again. Now the understanding can only be at this moment to understand a little more about the truth at this moment.
So seeing again, see, just talk about seeing again until it can be the object of understanding of direct awareness and direct understanding of it. Because now even there is seeing, no attention and no direct awareness with direct understanding of that which sees.
The difference between seeing and what is seen is really a point that we have to hear again and again.
Yeah. And not only seeing, but about hearing and thinking, smelling, tasting, touching. Anytime, by conditions, no selection, because they are all gone instantly.
Yes. And no selection. That's a very good reminder you often give us.
It's there already before any selection at all.
Yes.
So we can talk about anything as a reality, not just the word. And where are they? See, what we're talking about, no matter what. Where are they? So close to eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body and mind right here, so close, but so far away from understanding. That's why the understanding is not far away. It has to be of that which is so close right now. Otherwise, can it be right understanding of the truth? Because the truth is now in here. Hearing, see, very close. Getting close to the truth, little by little. Until what is meant by close, closer and closer, just to the characteristic of that which is now appear as nimitta. And when panya develops more, it can understand what is meant by what appears now, nama and rupa, are false. Only Nibbana is true.
And that I cannot quite get, because we can experience it. It's real. So I cannot call that false.
Because you take it for not a reality as it is. It makes known of something by ignorance and attachment. So we can say that it's just a lie.
Oh, it's quite something. Mm-hmm. It's a lie.
It seems that what is the lie is the something or someone, but the reality itself, it's real. It's real. So are you talking about the so rapidly arising and then falling away, the sunyata aspect?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No more, but we think that it's there.
Yes. Yeah, I see that.
It says this in the sutta that Nibbana, in this sense, is the only reality. Anything else is not a reality in comparison to Nibbana.
Yes.
Because it's all gone instantly.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
The hollow banana trunk. It's just layers and layers, but inside nothing there.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Mirage, because there's the idea of what is seen that can be known, but actually it's gone immediately.
Yes.
As I understand it, Panya knows what's already fallen away. Even Panya at the level of Vipassana that understands the characteristic of reality at the deeper level, the truth is that what it understands is the reality which has already fallen away.
Yes.
So it's not real in that sense.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's a different...
Mita. Just the sign, but actually no reality that's experienced. It's only the nimitta that is known, but actually
yes.
It's just the sign of a reality, no reality that is experienced. So Nibbana is the only reality that is actually directly realized, understood. Every other reality is known by its nimitta. So it's like a fake, because it's actually gone.
Oh, yeah.
Eve is trying to speak. Carry on, Eve.
So, for example, Chitta, the chief of experience, experiences hardness, and then the bhavangas, and then the mind or process starts over and over about hardness experience. So, with each mind or process, the nimitta becomes less sharp, more and more blurred. So the akusala or wrong view, the thinking the mirage and the illusion increases and the clarity of reality is lost. And this is a bit sad to me. Only unless Panya is developed to such a degree that understands that this is Nimitta and this is the characteristic of it.
What is there now and what appears now?
Visible object.
Visible object. As Nimitta of visible object, or just that which impinges on the eye base and then following?
That happened only for a split second, and now it's already microphone, sound, and hardness, and so on.
That's why even we take it for a visible object, not just single unit of it. It has to be that which impinges on the eye base and seeing in the process finish and the mind of process and the other moment of experiencing the next rupa, not the same rupa, because that one has fallen away already. But what appears is only seeing and that which is seen. So whatever can be known must be only the nimitta of unexpected, how rapidity reality is. So very fast, very rapidly arising and falling away all the time. And which one is known? Only nimitta. That's why when we think about what appears is only nimitta of every reality, that's all, not the real one. But without reality, there cannot be any nimitta. Nobody can change the way it is. No matter Buddha saw it, Sariputta saw it, or anyone, what appears is only the nimitta. But there is the understanding of the truth developing of each doorway as it is. Because now the sense door and the doorways cannot be separated, distinguished. But when there is a little understanding of this, it's not that, the other doorway, learning to understand what is there as it is, by conditions, without hearing, nobody can understand the distinction between the doorways, sense door and mind door at all, right now. That's why it has to begin with understanding that which is not self at all, because it is just that which is conditioned to arise and then fall away instantly. And Buddha thought about each one as different characteristics, performing each different function and then gone in split seconds. And that can be realized little by little. But there has to be the intellectual understanding about the truth of all these to condition moment of right now is there. But before hearing, there is no understanding of what is there at all, as no one, no thing. That's why from hearing, and there is more understanding, more confidence of the truth, that what is there now can appear only one doorway at a time. Imagine, not together as seeing and thinking and touching, smelling at all. Only one doorway at a time. Or only one doorway, because there are so many doorways in one doorway. Right now, there is not just seeing, there is also hearing and also thinking. So what is meant by just one doorway? It can be known because there are different ones. The seeing is not the hearing. They cannot be together. They cannot arise together. Only one at a time. But it doesn't appear as only one reality at a time right now, because of the succession of the rapidity of the arising and falling away. So the world appears as nimitta, the world of nimitta. what is there underneath, so deep now, arising and falling away unknowingly. Because only right understanding can begin to understand the truth. Where is it? Not far away, just here and now.
There's no point in clinging to the nimitta. It's gone already. I don't remember well. With each mind will process, it gets more and more blurred. So the hope is here now. What is experienced here now? Not thinking about what's already gone.
I know what you mean when you say the reality or the nimitta of reality is more and more blurred. But actually, when it is the thinking about the shape, the form, the color, something there, it's not that the nimitta of reality has become blurred, but the object is no longer the nimitta of the reality, but it is the impression, the idea of color, of shape, of something there. So it's a different object further and further away from the experiencing of the reality, which is what you meant. So when understanding develops, it has to get closer and closer to the understanding of the nimitta of the reality. So of course these are just words, but it just means it's a different object, not that the reality itself or the nimitta of reality has become more blurred, but just that the object is different further and further away from the reality itself. I think this is what you meant.
Yes, precisely. The mind or thinks, but actually it was simply experience, vedana, the experience or feeling of hardness. And what nimitta and concepts, just more and more things piled on top of the ideas, piled on top of the initial experience to obfuscate.
By the vedana of hardness. What is the vedana of hardness?
Sensation. The feeling.
Such as?
The chair.
So what is the vedana?
Vedana is the feeling, the sensation of hardness.
Is it a nama or rupa?
Vedana is nama.
Nama. So just at that moment of touching has to be either pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling that accompanies the touching of the hardness. Because sometimes people mention sensation and they think of something that is touched. But actually, it's just a pleasant feeling that, or painful feeling that accompanies the experiencing. What is touch is just the hardness. No feeling of hardness, no sensation of hardness, just hardness that appears. Because as you rightly said, the vedana is a nama. So it experiences the same object as the citta in a pleasant or unpleasant way. That's all.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm just wondering if Jagrit's family have all been very patient. If any of you have any question, it doesn't matter how basic or what the topic is. Carry on.
I have following questions about feelings. Sometimes reality happens so intense, such as pain, it's a vedana, dukkha vedana, and the intense feeling occurs continuously as a nimitta. So when this intense pain feeling arise, it is a good moment to aware of this pain feeling. because it's not go away soon. Sometimes it happens hours or more than that. And this feeling, Vedana, can be the object of awareness. The question is there anything wrong about experience this pain feeling? And sometimes in some meditation retreat, they use this pain feeling to be the object of the awareness. In many meditation retreat in Thailand, they use this tactic of awareness, this Vedana. So what's wrong with this concept of thinking that we use this intense feeling to be the awareness, to be aware?
And this is why I also picked up on the term of sensation of hardness, because it's a very common idea that people can be aware of sensations and they take what is experienced for being Vedana, but not understanding that Vedana arises for an instant with every citta and falls away immediately. The Vedana of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting is neutral feeling, but with bodily experience, it's pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling, which can be extreme painful feeling. And it seems that it lasts, but actually it's just one citta in the sense door process. But there is dwelling on it again and again in the mind door, taking it for my painful experience, living in the fantasy world, clinging to that idea of something, my painful experience, which is why it seems to last for so long. But actually, the painful feeling is just a moment. At moments of seeing or hearing, no painful feeling. At moments of tasting, even very hot chilies or smelling, no painful feeling. At moments of thinking about what has been experienced, thinking about the people around us, thinking about what I'm eating, no painful feeling. So it's just one vipaka citta, which we find so important. And of course, when it appears, there can be awareness and understanding. But as soon as there is focusing on it, trying to be aware of it, the clinging, the lobha is there unseen, and people can't imagine how can there be clinging to painful feeling. But there is clinging to the idea of my painful feeling that I become obsessed with and thinking about again and again. So the real problem in life is not the vipaka citta that lasts for an instant, but the thinking with ignorance and attachment and aversion on and on and on, building up the story. So there was the nimitta of the painful feeling for an instant, and then it's the nimitta of the idea, the form, something, my experience that lasts so long. So this is the fantasy world, and the real problem is not the painful feeling, but the ignorance and attachment right now.
If it's correct that moment of intense pain is a good moment for awareness of painful feeling, then it would also be true to say that a moment of loud noise was a good moment for awareness of sound or hearing. A moment of strong attachment is a good moment for awareness of that particular reality. And a moment of intense concentration on something is a good moment for awareness of that reality. But we don't find the Buddha ever saying this in the texts. And I think having the idea that those are opportune moments for their awareness is a subtle form of selection of object. because then we'll be saying, well, what is it that's appearing now that is suitable for being object of awareness? And as we know, awareness is conditioned by many factors, and the object that will be the object of awareness is conditioned to what it takes as object. So neither the moment of arising of awareness nor its object can be in any sense predicted or anticipated. Otherwise, there'd be a subtle form of practice there. It's better not to think of particular situations, because that's a situation, isn't it? That situation suitable for awareness of that reality, that kind of thing, is a trap to be avoided.
Think that everyone knows the Buddha taught about the truth of dukkha, but people understand dukkha to be unpleasant, painful bodily feeling or aversion. But this is one kind of dukkha that everyone understands about. The deep truth of sankhara dukkha is that whatever arises and falls away is unsatisfactory, not just painful bodily feeling, but pleasant bodily feeling, not just anger, but kindness. Even panya is dukkha. So unless there is the understanding of any reality without selection, there can never be the understanding of the true meaning of what is meant by anicca and what is meant by dukkha and what is meant by anatta, because that painful feeling is not mine. The pleasant feeling is not mine. Whatever arises doesn't belong to anyone. It's not in anyone's control at all. So they don't appreciate the deep meaning of what is dukkha at this very moment. No matter what the feeling is, no matter what the reality is, each one is conditioned and falls away immediately. And the obsession, the focus on a particular reality is all because of the idea of self. Comments or dream or
So after listening to a lot of tapes and coming here, I do have like a focus on whenever I lost my consciousness, as in like I'm thinking about a lot of stuff and I automatically, with wrong understanding, I try to bring up my own consciousness and be, oh, this is thinking. Oh, what do I see? I see objects and it's aversion and it's not real, but then that's not the right understanding because it's still me thinking and trying to be attached to my experience. So I would like to understand what's the difference between thinking, considering, and the right panya, or the right understanding the right truth.
I'll just make a brief comment first, then. I think that considering is considering the Dhamma, the teaching of the Buddha. Now, it's true that the Buddha taught the development of insight in the Satipatthana Sutta, for example, but considering the Buddha's teaching doesn't mean trying to identify what realities are appearing at the present moment. That is, in my view, mistaking a kind of subtle kind of practice for considering the teachings. The Buddha taught the Dhamma in many different ways. The suttas are just a description of the way the world is in reality. And one can reflect on that without necessarily relating it to there must be some awareness of something at the present moment. As soon as one drifts into that territory, then, as you appreciate, it's not the right kind of thinking. What the Buddha calls wise consideration is not trying to have awareness, but it's the kind of reflection that is prompted by one's interest in what one has heard about the teaching and what the Buddha said about the world, the world as we take it and the world as it really is. One can't be more specific than that. If you ask for an example, any example given could be right reflection, or it could be the kind of thinking that you were describing as the wrong kind of thinking. Just considering what has been heard, but without any expectation involved.
If there is any trying or doing anything, like when lost daydreaming, if there's trying to pull one's consciousness back, or trying to be aware, or trying to consider wisely, can that be panya? Dream shaking her head. Why not?
Because it's still one trying.
It's still I. It's my lost consciousness. It's my consciousness I would like to bring back. It's still the idea that I can do, or I can control, which we discussed the other day. It's not the understanding of conditioned dharmas. We started this discussion today about a question about Tina and Mita, like when one feels very sleepy or lazy, for example, and if there is an idea of trying to find those realities or trying to pinpoint, again, it's the idea of doing something, trying to mark it, taking it for my experience. So if it's any kind of trying to do, trying to find, trying to change, trying to stop those realities, it cannot be the understanding of just what appears now. If what appears now is just some thinking about nonsense, okay, the thinking is real, it's conditioned. Useless to try to change it or have another reality. It's not my useless thinking. It's just that Dhamma at that moment. So the wise considering is the beginning to understand more about what appears right now, not what one would like to appear, like painful feeling or kindness or understanding, but just whatever appears without naming or labeling it. It's just as it is, seeing now, what is heard now, the sound, the tangible object. Just whatever appears, which, as Jonathan said, has to be without selection, without expectation at all, in order to wean away from the idea of someone or my experience at all. So it's only by considering more about different dharmas that there can be the growing understanding that no one is there, no thing is there at all.
Is considering still thinking?
It's thinking, and here we can talk about considering wisely or unwisely. So when there's considering wisely about what has been heard about the realities, it is the beginning of understanding, the beginning of understanding about the truth. But there can be considering about Dharma in an unwise way, like if there's considering about painful feeling or how there should be awareness of this sensation or this pain. This is unwise considering.
So my question is related to when Sarah was explaining about the intense pain, about how the intense pain that we feel, we conceptualize it into like a story about my pain and like dwell on it on and on. That's why like the pain lasts longer. My question is that, can our own concept be an object for our mind or to process it, or does it have to be, object of rupa, that is from the other five sense door, that could be the object for the mind door itself. I'm sorry, I'm still pretty new to this. I'm probably playing, not doing well.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
I'm just going to make a few comments. So anything can be the object of the mind or cheetahs. They can be thinking about any reality or thinking about any idea. They can be thinking about my painful knee. They can be thinking about hardness that was just touched. They can be thinking about the dream last night. Anything can be the object of thinking. They can be thinking about Nibbana, just an idea of Nibbana, which is not understood. Thinking about what I ate for lunch. So these are just different ideas, different concepts. But if there had not been the experience of different realities, if there had not been the tasted, there couldn't be the thinking about that kind of taste. If nothing had been seen, there couldn't be the thinking about the different books and people in the room. So it is because of the realities themselves that are experienced through the sense doors that there comes to be the thinking about different ideas about them. Like while dreaming at night, if there had never been any sense experiences, if there had never been any experience of visible object or sound, there couldn't be any kind of thinking about crazy dreams about them.
So anything could be the object.
Anything can be the object of thinking, yes.
I have another one short question following that. Is object, is the previous contact that falls away and condition the next arising contact for the next moment? Does that mean by, what we mean by object is the contact that has fallen away, nimitta of the previous contact of the previous moment, which conditions the arising of the next contact on the next moment? Does that mean by object? Is that what it means?
So what is khanda now? Can you give some examples of what khanda is now?
Khanda now can be seeing, or could be anything that arises and falls away.
Okay, so let's take seeing now. So seeing arises because of various conditions. And what does seeing experience now?
Seeing experiences the rupa.
The rupa. Color. The visible object, rupa. And the seeing falls away, the rupa falls away. And after the seeing, it conditions the next citta and the next citta. So various cheetahs in the eye-door process. And then after the visible object has fallen away, no more cheetahs experience it in the eye-door process. Those cheetahs are followed by several bhavanga cheetahs, life continuum cheetahs. And then they must be followed by mind-door cheetahs, the mind-door adverting consciousness and the kusala or akusala mind or cheetahs. And in the first mind or process, the object has to be the visible object, but actually it's the nimitta of visible object, because the visible object itself has fallen away.
Right.
And then after there has been that experience of the visible object, many countless more mind or processes, mind or cheetahs, which experience the nimitta of the shape, the sign, the form of the visible object. But if punya arises, it can understand the nimitta of any reality just experienced, such as the seeing itself or the visible object. But because the seeing has fallen away, the visible object has fallen away, it's always the nimitta of that reality, which is the object of panya. And actually, it's not just one moment of seeing, but the nimitta of many, many moments of seeing in different processes. But it has to be the nimitta, because at the moment of seeing, there cannot be panya at that moment. So it's always the nimitta of the reality that is the object of understanding. Does that make it a little clearer?
Yes.
Little absolutely. By little by little.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Nothing. So it's that my seeing, my hearing and my thinking to be truthful to the truth, little by little. Nothing belongs to me at all because it's the reality which has a reason and a following. So how can anyone own it? But as soon as there's seeing and there is the no understanding, it's that I instantly because of ignorance. But when there is understanding, that cannot be I, or it cannot be mine, it cannot belong to anyone at all, because it's not there anymore. No. Nothing belongs to anyone.
Sawadika, Kana-chan. It's along those lines that I have a question. A moment ago you said no selection of the object, it's gone already. And I've heard this many times, but I was thinking about my day seems to go along kind of like the way I plan it. And I was thinking, okay, so objects go already. So I feel like I'm being tricked into believing that it all continues on as I want it to be when I'm told and taught that things just arise and fall away and it's all very supposedly random. But I'm curious as to why, what is it that tricks us? Is it because there's no understanding of those realities that fall away?
Ignorance and attachment.
Yes. Yeah, I guess it's a lot of attachment and ignorance that because we think that it's all hanging together, but in fact, yeah, I guess that's what it is, just thinking, like you were just a moment ago saying. Okay, thank you. And I have one other thing, it's a little bit different to that, but we have khandhas and we have salayat. We have, yes, we all have. I will rephrase. There are khandhas and there are salayatana. So it seems to me in the little bit I was reading is that khandhas are all realities. But when we go on to salayatana, it seems that salayatana gives us more knowledge of how khandhas work. Would that be correct?
What is ayatana?
Ayatana, for example, seeing, if the seeing, there must be a base, eye base, and there must be an object. And also there has to be pasa. So they're realities and they're in khandhas as well. We're told they're in khandhas they are khandhas as well as ayatanas. So my thought is that the salayatana further explains khanda and what khandhas do.
I think that if we consider just one word at a time, we can understand reality as not self. Otherwise, the idea of self is already there, always there. My understanding. See, but in truth, we are not used, because there is the clinging to whatever is there as someone, something. So at moment of being aware, we can say just as simple as that, but actually it might not be awareness at all, but we take it for I am aware. But in truth, whether it's awareness or not, there must be right understanding. Whether the object is so strong, like a very, very painful feeling, and we think that, oh, it's good or it's clear, rather than it's not as strong as that, to be taken as the object of understanding, what is that, right or wrong? That's why we don't just think about the whole situation, but just one reality at a time. For example, when we talk about ayatana, or salayatana, or chalayatana, what is ayatana? You talk about patsa, is there patsayatana?
Is there patsa ayatana?
Yeah, patsa ayatana.
My understanding is that no is my answer to that, because ayatana to me means the arising of several realities together. For example, seeing, eye base, pasa, and an object. So when you ask me, is pasa ayatana? I guess I would say it's part of the ayatana.
What do you mean by part?
Well, the way I've been thinking of what ayatana is, I've mentioned those four things, and pasa is only part of those.
That's why from the very beginning, there should be the understanding clearly about what is ayatana. Can citta arise without cetasikas, cetana, pasa?
No.
So whatever is there together is ayatana. That's why citta is manayatana.
All right, yes.
And his cetasika is ayatana when it's there. Pasayatana, vedanayatana. See, whatever is there is ayatana because it's there together with other things.
Right.
Each one is ayatana. Sanyayatana. Neva sanyana sanyayatana. See. That's why there should be clear understanding of each word. What is ayatana? When it's not there, it cannot be ayatana. But when it's there together with other reality, each one is ayatana because it has to be there together.
Right. So it's not part of. It is an ayatana. Pasa is ayatana on its own. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you, Achan. That's a little bit clearer. Until next time. Thank you.
Each ayatana is a khanda. So each pasa is a khanda. Each seeing is a khanda. Each chetana is a khanda, not in khandas.
Did I say in khanda? I thought I said in ayatanas. That was my thinking.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's the same for ayatana too. So
yes.
Each pasa is an ayatana. Each pasa is a dhatu. Each pasa is a khanda.
Okay, so can I just go back to what you said, that each one is a khanda also? Okay, yes. Yes, yes.
They're arising together. Only when it's there, arising together.
Okay, right.
These different groupings of realities are different ways of considering the nature of the realities.
Right.
So rather than say that the grouping of ayatanas helps us to understand khandas further, I think it just helps to understand realities, to help see them from a different aspect, as does khandas, as do dhatus, as do the four foundations of mindfulness, etc. Any grouping of all realities is not introducing new realities.
No.
Same realities, but considered from a slightly different aspect.
Right, yes.
John added, when it's there is important, like the pasa that is this moment arising right now. It is ayatana, and the seeing at this moment is ayatana, and what is seen, the visible object, is an ayatana. But when it's not there, it's not an ayatana. So it's always what is there at the moment of associating right now.
Right.
And same for the khanda, what is arising and falling away now.
Yeah, that's made it a lot clearer. And just one other thing, Sarah, a moment ago you said nirvana is the only reality which can be directly experienced. That was like a little ha-ha for me. I hadn't really considered nirvana much because it seems so far away. But I think you then went on to say, you know, other realities are not directly experienced. They've arise and gone, whereas Nibbana does not arise. And therefore, there's no nimitta of Nibbana. So it is the only reality directly experienced. So, yeah, that was another little click for me.
Because even when we talk about the highest vipassana jnanas, the object is still the nimitta of reality. So when the Lokutra cittas arise, they experience the object Nibbana directly, not by way of nimitta.
And I would just like to add a short comment to your first question, Azita, which was about the rapid rising and falling away of realities and how there's no understanding of that and how they appear to be continuous. I think I'm not sure what word you said.
Well, it appears that when you plan to do something, it gets done, or maybe not, but things seem to hang together. They're not as chaotic as I would think, as I would expect.
We are misled because what we think we are seeing has already fallen away. When the understanding of realities has been developed, as I understand it, any wrong view of the situation is gradually eradicated bit by bit. But of course, realities are still arising and falling away very rapidly. And it's not as though the enlightened being perceives this as it's happening. The world still is experienced in terms of concepts. Because, for example, if the enlightened being is having a conversation, the understanding of the words being spoken is instantaneous. It's not as though the sound has to be analyzed and words formed from the bare sound, as it were. Are you with me on that? But the difference is that the wrong view, the misunderstanding that's been accumulated has been eliminated, has been eradicated.
Right.
So the problem, as it were, is not the fact that the world is perceived in terms of these concepts, but it's the accumulated wrong view that we have of things, and that's prevalent, rising, or at least present as asava, that does become eradicated and replaced by right view.
Right. Yes, that slow eradication, I think, kind of over time eliminates that wrong idea, I guess. Not there yet. Yeah, thank you, John. Thank you. Thank you, Achan. Thank you, Sarah.
All conditions, because there are many conditions preventing, I have to say, me from being here. So I'm very appreciative that today, at least, the conditions allowed me to be here.
Glad you can join by Zoom, Betty. Good to see you. Yeah.
Or maybe when there are moments, like I had this morning walking the dogs, that there's a thought, what is experienced now is because of a reality that's already fallen away. Is this right, considering if that's left there at that, not trying to see what was experienced? Is such a moment of thinking right, considering when there's not trying to think any further of it?
Do we have to know whether it's right or wrong thinking? Actually, it's just thinking at that moment. Otherwise, it's just thinking more about the thinking. No. So
the what considering.
About just understanding the thinking there, and now it's gone. Not my thinking.
Is that different than considering thinking?
I think thinking or considering, and like you say, it can be wisely or unwisely, but instead of trying to work out whether the thinking that occurred this morning or 5 minutes ago was right or wrong thinking, what about just understanding the thinking now that appears? Otherwise, it's the story again of my experience.
Yeah, I understand right now I'm in the trap.
Yeah. So it's just thinking now and it's gone. And it doesn't matter what it was thinking about. So it's always back to what appears now.
Yes.
Is there thinking now?
Yes, there is, Constantine.
when will it be known as a sound? If we think about other things, the past or the future. So only what is there appearing can be the object of understanding. When it's not there, how can it be understood or penetrated?
So it's because I took a situation that there's idea of self.
But when there's enough understanding of the benefit of understanding the truth, it doesn't follow what is thought about, but it begins to understand what is there as now. See, for example, we use the term reality, not self, but we are not used or we are not acquainted with the characteristic of that which we are talking about. Well, or at this moment, it appears the understanding of the truth of no one and no thing. That's why we talk about seeing. It seems like no one has doubt about seeing. But in truth, seeing right now, if there is no acquaintance to the characteristic of that which arises and see, it's impossible to let go the idea of it's me or I who see. That's why we are used to the term, but we are not familiar with the characteristic which is not self. For example, hardness. We understand that it's a reality, but when it's there now, see, is it just a reality? When it's not moment, beginning to understand hardness as only hardness. So even hardness is so very subtle because it also arises and falls away. No need to think that that is better or clearer to be aware of. Nothing at all. No matter what, whether it's strong or weak, right understanding has to understand the truth of it. Otherwise, it's the I here and I there, or seeing here or seeing there all the time. So even right now, it's so very difficult to pinpoint or to understand what is there, see. What moment? Not only seeing, there's also thinking, see. And they do not appear as they are, clear enough to be known as what is there now. But there must be a reality. So when there is the awareness by conditions, which understands that, it's that which has to be understood as just a moment of seeing, experiencing an object. Even thinking about it, it's not conditioned to arise. When firm understanding is not firm enough to condition moment of instant aware of a reality right now by conditions. That's why everything which appears can be object of understanding, depending on conditions, not at will or any choice or selection at all. And this is the way to understand the anatomy of what is there, little by little. Is there already? Is there any understanding of the truth of it? Is there any attention to the characteristic which is there, unknown as before, and beginning to understand at that very moment, at that very moment, at that very moment, until it is so familiar with the characteristic which is only a reality, no one there. And this is the point, because just hearing is not enough to let go the idea of self. It's the I, because of sanya, because of vedana, because sankhara dhamma, because of vijnana, or there. That's why sanya is right sanya when it arises with right understanding. little by little, letting go of wrong understanding unknowingly. So very gradually, in a moment, only in a moment. How many moments of ignorance and how many moments of attachment and how many moments of begin to know that no matter what, it has to be understood as it is as a self. Because the self is there all the time, from this to that, from moment to moment of different objects. So the point is listening to understand that what is there now can be object of understanding directly only when there are enough intellectual understanding. Otherwise, no condition for awareness to arise, to be aware without any understanding is useless. And we take it for awareness, but in fact, in truth, it's not. Because when it's right awareness, it has to arise with right understanding, which begin to understand the characteristic of that reality as it is just there.
Tanajan, can we also say that when there is right consideration, that there is perhaps or right understanding arising, that there is the say a deeper understanding of any or of the characteristics of every of a particular reality arising at that time. It's the understanding of its anattaness, or the understanding of its anicca-ness, or the understanding of its dukkha-ness could be considered as right consideration of the object.
But not the direct moment of understanding.
Right, not a direct, but that is certainly.
But it can be conditioned for direct awareness to arise.
Yeah.
That's why it has to have the intellectual understanding to be conditions for direct awareness. And when we use the term direct awareness, we just use the word, or is there as direct awareness arising together with understanding? Without understanding, how can it be directly aware of that object? By conditions, no selection. Be patient, parami. Viriya parami, kanti parami, and satya parami, to be truthful to the truth, no other way. That's why panya, only panya can know how much understanding, what level of understanding of what is there, even touching hardness. What level of understanding, how much understanding of hardness, or not yet, as usual, it's hard only that, or it is hard to be known as no one and nothing. At any moment, right now, touching any part of the body or any object.
Sensation. I went to Vedana, one of the universals, universal Chetasikas accompanying Chitta, which arises to experience the object, and Chitta is the chief of experience, and it's not the hardness. Well, that's the characteristic of it, but Rupa does not experience. And the physical body itself is Rupa. It's Chitta that experiences. So that's why, in answer to Sarah's question, I went to sensation of hardness. I'm sort of diverging a bit, but earlier in the discussion, Tana.
What is sensation of hardness?
It's Vedana, a Chetasika.
So is it a characteristic of hardness, or is it the experiencing of hardness?
The experiencing.
The experiencing of hardness. And how does it experience hardness, what you call sensation?
I don't know how to answer that. Simply the experience of hardness or degrees of softness, or it's...
What is the difference between Vedana and the citta, which experiences the hardness?
Well, Vedana is the cetasika which accompanies it. Citta is the chief of experience. See, Vedana is there along with Sanya to mark and remember it, and Jitavindriya, which...
But what does Vedana do? What is its function? How does it experience the hardness?
I can't put it into word. It simply feels the sensation. I mean, it's the...
How can it feel the sensation?
Well, Jivitindriya.
Not Jivitindriya, Vedana.
Cannot feel the sensation, only Vedana.
What does it mean to feel a sensation? What is the sensation? Because you said the sensation is Vedana. So how can there be feeling the Vedana?
It's the
particularly, what does sensation mean? Are you suggesting sensation is the same as feeling, or are they different?
Well, in conventional terms, feeling can be akusala or kusala, a positive or a negative. And then there's bodily sensation. So now I'm getting a bit lost for words, the poverty of language.
Because sensation can mean different things to different people. Feeling is a clearer term to use for Vedana, I think, because we can go off track. Sensation can mean a perception, kind of perception, whereas Vedana, as Sarah is indicating, has a very specific function.
Yes, to distill it down to its purest.
To taste the object.
Is that hardness, or whatever is experienced at that moment, in this case with pleasant or unpleasant feeling. So it just tastes or experiences that hardness with pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling. So it doesn't feel a sensation. It feels the hardness in a pleasant or unpleasant way. When there's painful feeling, it's unpleasant feeling. When it's a moment of touching softness, pleasant feeling, which experiences that softness. That's all.
Yes, that makes it clearer. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Sarah. Please excuse me. I'm sort of backtracking to the hindrances mentioned earlier as far as, my phone is doing something. I wanted to bring it up. Tina Mita, the sloth and torpor, and then there's ill will, and there's vichikicca doubt, and the udacca, the restlessness and worry, and then there's the sensual desire and craving. Of these five hindrances, Tanajan, which is the most powerful, or the deadliest one, if you will, to I also wanted to ask, then, what would be the antidote to
what appears? That which does not appear cannot be known. In order to understand the truth of whatever we're talking about, it has to be there to be understood. Right now, for example, seeing is there. Otherwise, we talk about the moment of seeing without seeing that. How can there be the understanding of seeing? So even now, there is seeing. No understanding of seeing as a seeing yet. That's why you keep on talking about the reality which sees. There are many different realities arising and experience and object, but they are different. We don't have to name or call it, whether it is sensation, a feeling, or anything. But the truth is there. of a reality, but that reality arises and falls away in split seconds. So it's very difficult to pinpoint what is there, because after one another, it changes on and on and on. That's why we learn to understand each different one to be object of understanding of just one reality at a time, in order to let go the idea of self or something, because they are together all the time. But when only one reality appears, it cannot be other thing. It has to be only that particular reality. For example, hardness. We talk about hardness when hardness is there, not talking about sanya, memory or feeling, but just talk about hardness, no matter how hard it is. But it's only that, no word, but it's there as it is, to be known as that which appears, but it cannot experience anything. And it's not hot, but it's hard. A reality begins to understand the difference between each reality. At moment of hardness, it's not hot. At moment of heat appear, it's not hard. This is the understanding, little by little, to let go the idea of what are there as a whole. A chair, no? Heat or hardness is there.
I wasn't sure if I heard you correctly, but did you ask about the antidote to the hindrances? And what were you thinking of? You mean at the time they arise, or generally, or what did you have in mind in asking about the antidote for the hindrances?
Is there a way to guard against the hindrances, so to speak?
The reality is there that can be known as just only one, because we use the term include whatever is there.
But if the hindrance, if the tendency has been accumulated, then it will arise when the conditions are there for its arising. Right? So it's not useful to think in terms of an antidote to tinamida, for example, of some kind of opposite quality that can be developed, because again, it depends on conditions.
An idea of what can we do to guard against it? What is there again? What can we do to prevent tinamida? What can we do to prevent restlessness? When akusala arises, actually udaccha is there already. So the only antidote, if you want to use that word, is actually the development of understanding, which naturally leads to the development of sati, which guards against akusala arising, but not I doing anything. Mm-hmm. And if one is disturbed by the tinamita that arises, that's the reality at that moment, the disturbance. Because whatever arises is conditioned. It's not my tinamida. It's not my restlessness, my worry. When the conditions for worry, there will be worry. But it's gone instantly.
Yes. And then there was something else I wanted to bring up, and that would be the near enemies. Tanajan, please. Metta. Karuna, let's see. There are a couple others there. Equanimity. And I don't know, another one. But why are they near enemies?
Because it's dangerous.
And it's the one, like when we were talking about mudita the other day, the sympathetic joy, the gladness for others, good fortune. And we mentioned near enemy is attachment, because there's pleasant feeling, there's joy, and we're so happy that our friend is having good fortune or coming to the Dharma discussion. But that attachment is taken for being kusala, when in fact it's the near enemy.
So now you're talking about near enemy or dear enemy?
Near.
I like them so much. Yes.
So those four you mentioned, that they are not near enemies, but they have a near enemy, which is for metta, is attachment, which is, of course, obviously unwholesome. So there's an unwholesome mental factor that can easily be mistaken for the wholesome one.
Opposite of the far enemy. So the far enemy of metta is dosa. When there's anger, no metta, it's like the opposite extreme. But the attachment is close and can so easily be taken for metta, like when the mother takes care of her baby and looks after it's all its needs, metta or attachment, because it's my baby that's so special. So it's the attachment that is taken for the metta, not the far enemy, the dosa.
And do you have dear enemy?
Yes.
Yes, everyone.